Excellent. Well, I'm going to get us going here this morning, and really appreciate everyone who is joined us, and everybody kind of making do during this whole coronavirus, COVID, whatever you want to call it, crisis. And obviously, it's affected our church in ways that we never saw coming. It's changed the way that we do church, at least for the time being. And as I was saying a little bit before, I'm just praising the Lord that we have technology like this where we can actually still be able to get together, still be able to congregate and assemble as a local church. And I praise God for that. And so thank you guys so much for joining us on this Lord's Day. I'm gonna tell you this: is I miss you all. I miss regular church. Okay, I miss being able to see you all. I kind of go back and forth. There's this big debate between extroverts and introverts, and sometimes I can be very introverted person. But I guess maybe I just don't know myself, but through this whole process, I've realized really how much of an extrovert I am. I love people, and I love to be around people, and not being able to be with you has been a hardship for me in a lot of ways, and I just miss church. I'm really, really, really looking forward to when this is all said and done, when we can all pack that sanctuary together, when we can hear Barry play, on the guitar again, and we can all sing together. And as a matter of fact, the elders, if you didn't get our email, we're already planning on what we're already calling, whenever this is all done, Homecoming Sunday. And we're going to call it that. It's going to be a very special service. It's going to be a time of sharing, a time of singing, lots of singing, and obviously a time in the Word, a time of fellowship and whatnot. And so we're really, really looking forward to that already. I think God is going to, I don't think, I know God is already using this in the life of our church. I think he's bringing, and we're seeing the love of Christ for each other through this whole process, and we're going to see it even more so afterwards. So I'm really excited to see what God is doing and what he's going to do throughout this whole process. But a few different things. I was asked whether or not I'm going to give prayer requests this morning. I'm not, because this is a live forum, and I don't really want to share names publicly of things that are going on, but for that, I would encourage you that if you're not already a part of our private prayer group, Facebook prayer group, that you contact myself or Sarah, and we can get you connected to that. If you're not on our email Evine prayer request list, I would encourage you to make sure that you get your email on there and check those often. I don't really want to share specific names and requests just because, again, this is more of a public forum. It's open to everybody. But suffice it to say, we do have some very, very serious prayer requests going on in the life of our church right now. And so I would encourage you to be praying for one another, be checking on one another each and every single day, seeing if there's any needs, and so that we can just take care of each other through this whole process. And so, but that being said, I'm going to open up this morning before we jump into the Word with a word of prayer. And so if you would bow with me for a word of prayer this morning, let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this morning. And God, even though we as a church family cannot meet physically today, God, we praise you so much that we can meet in this way, online. And I praise you so much for each one who has joined us. And God, Lord, you know my heart. I miss our church family. I miss seeing their smiling faces each and every week. Lord, I love my church family. And I know the same could be said for each one of us. We miss each other. And so, Lord, sustain us through this time. Help us to be checking on one another and praying for one another throughout this whole process. God, help us to just be the hands and feet of Christ, to show the love of Christ to one another, God, even through this time of quarantine. And so, God, I pray for this morning as we delve into your word, that you would nourish us with it, that you would spur us on, God, that we would not become weary in well-doing or lazy in our spiritual walk during this time, but instead, God, that these times that we get together online would be used for your glory's sake in our lives, to spur us on, to help us to grow spiritually during all of this. And so, Lord, use this time. Lord, I do want to uplift those prayer requests to you, God, very serious prayer requests, some of them, those who may be struggling with a variety of things. Lord, I pray that each one of us would pray for those things by name, that we would join together on the Zoom prayer meeting, private Zoom prayer meeting this Wednesday, and God, that that we would uplift those requests to you. But Lord, we do uplift them to you, knowing that you know and that you care. And so be with us now as we jump into the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, as we go into week two of this whole coronavirus scare, many of us are hunkering down in our quarantines. I was reminded this week of an old book that had a huge impact on my life while I was in Bible college, and it was by Dr. John Piper. It was called Don't Waste Your Life. I have it right here. It's a great book. I really highly recommend it to anyone. And in that book, Piper, he writes the following to define what it means to waste your life. He writes this. He says, "The wasted life is the life without a passion for the supremacy of God in all things." I'm going to read that again. The wasted life is the life without a passion for the supremacy of God in all things. And when I read that, I was reminded of another old saying that my pastor growing up in East Windsor, he would quote this on occasion. I'm sure that you've heard this quote before. It said, "Only one life to live, 'twill soon be past, and only what is done for Christ will last." Great truths there. And finally, the Apostle Paul said in his letter to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16, he said this, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of your time, because the days are evil." And thus, thinking about how much life has changed in just the past couple days, we need to, as Christians, we need to consider our actions throughout this entire quarantine period and seriously think about whether or not we are utilizing this time in the best possible spiritual ways or not. We really need to consider our actions. Again, this situation is beyond any one of our control, and it just proves it over and over again that there is only one who is in control of all things, and that is our sovereign God. Digital amen, right? I know it's corny. I got to do it at least once during these things, but amen. God is in control. He is. And thus, because God is in control and God allowed this to happen, we know that he always means it for our good as Christians. What does Romans 8:28 say? It says, "And we know for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose." And so if God means this for our good, which he does, and we are also commanded, as I already read, to be making the best use of our time, we need to ask ourselves some serious spiritual questions during this time of quarantine. Questions like, am I seeking the supremacy of God in all things, even during this time of quarantine, or am I indeed wasting my life, like the title of John Piper's book states? What am I doing during this time for the glory of God? Am I using my time wisely? Am I redeeming this very, very special time of quarantine for the glory of God and my own spiritual growth and the spiritual growth of others? Or am I wasting it? You know, in our flesh, we tend to want to use our time, especially now, especially if you find yourself at home a lot. We tend to want to use that time or lean towards using the time of what I call me time. You know what me time is? And it's because of the odd nature of the situation that we've been given time at home. We have a tendency to kind of medicate our anxieties, medicate our anxious souls with things like maybe watching TV, watching movies, binge watching Netflix, right? Maybe reading novels or playing games. And maybe if you're like me, browsing the news and social media on your phone just constantly, maybe doing that for far too long. And folks, I'm just going to tell you that's not going to help you. It's nothing but junk food for your souls. And it is indeed a waste of time. It's a waste of life. In that same book by John Piper, Don't Waste Your Life, he writes this. He says, "America is the first culture in jeopardy of amusing itself to death." And that quote's always stuck with me because it's true. And these things that I mentioned, they only serve as distractions, and it will, all of them will not bring you any kind of lasting peace. It won't bring you any kind of lasting joy throughout this entire coronavirus scare, nor any other crisis that you're going to have to deal with in the future, because this isn't going to be the last time that you deal with a crisis. There's going to be other things that come into our lives, whether private and personal or nationwide, like we see right now. But none of those things are going to be able to help us. None of those things. They're just distractions. They're not going to bring peace. They're not going to bring joy in your life. And so in kind of a what I'm calling a Piper-esque fashion, I want to start a new series over these next few weeks of the coronavirus situation, quarantine, called Don't Waste Your Quarantine. That's what I'm entitling it, Don't Waste Your Quarantine. And so I want us to look at a variety of ways that we can utilize this time of social distancing for the glory of God, so that even through this very difficult situation, that our lives might not be wasted during this time, but instead that we might use this time for the greatest potential for the glory of God and the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I want to look at those various ways over the next couple weeks. Today, practically speaking, I'm going to talk about just one way that we can do so. The first way, and I believe the most important way, that we can be more intentional about using this time of quarantine for the glory of God, and that is namely by being in the Bible constantly. By being in the Bible constantly. As I said before, during this time at home, we can have a tendency to want to do lesser things. We can have a tendency to want to binge watch all those shows that we missed, or again, if you're like me, sit in front of the news constantly to see what's going to happen next. And again, I'm going to confess, I've been really guilty of this over the past week and a half. I really have. Whenever there's a notification on my phone that President Trump or Governor Lamont has given an update, I'm literally glued to it. You can ask my wife. I'll sit there and I'll listen to the whole thing. And because I've been giving myself to keeping updated with this whole situation, updated with the news, it really has led to, if I'm going to be completely frank with you, an uneasy heart. It's led to a lot of worry and a lot of concern, restlessness at night, things like that throughout this. And I'm sure I'm not alone in this. I'm sure many of you are in the same boat as me. And folks, that's sinful on my part. It's sinful. The Bible is clear that we need to set our minds on things that are above. It says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, it says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. And thus, the way that we set our minds on things that are above and get our minds off of the things that are on the earth is by going to the very source of the knowledge of the things that are from above, and that is the Bible. That is the Word of God. We need to be in the Bible. Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and have heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And so Paul, in this case, is talking about the peace that can only come from thinking about the things that are found in the pages of God's Word. Indeed, everything in the pages of God's Word is what? Is true, is honorable, is just, is pure, is lovely, is commendable, excellent, and worthy of praise. And why is that? Why is everything in the Bible all of these things? Well, it's because the Bible is all about God. And because God is true, and God is honorable and just and pure and lovely and commendable and excellent and worthy of our praise. Bible is all about God. It really is. My pastor in Pennsylvania, who was also a Bible college professor at Baptist Bible College, Joe Schlegel, he used to say this. He said the Bible is the only book written by God about God. It's God's autobiography. Everything in the scripture is all about God. And so when we read the Bible, we are getting our minds off of ourselves. We're getting it off of the situation, off of the coronavirus, off of the crisis, and on to what is most important, what will bring the most peace, the God of peace, the sovereign, loving, merciful God of peace that Paul talks about there in Philippians 4:9. And so it only makes sense that today, if you're like me and you tend to struggle with the anxiety and the worry over this coronavirus scare, it would only make sense to be in the Bible as much as possible, right? Right. And so practically speaking, how can we stay in the Word constantly during this quarantine? How do we do it? Well, It starts with the most basic. First and foremost, you actually need to read the scriptures. Okay, and I know that that sounds overly simplistic, but that's because it is. It really is overly simplistic. You actually need to open up your Bible and begin to read it. That's very, very important. And again, if you're not in the habit of reading your Bible regularly, right now is the greatest time that you have to be able to develop that habit and find good practices and disciplines that work for you specifically. I understand every one of our situations is different, but now is the time to start practicing the habit, the discipline of reading the scriptures. For instance, I'm just going to give you a few very practical, this is going to be a very practical sermon today, very practical means by which you can just start to get into the Word. And I think I've given you this recommendation before in previous sermons, but if you want to start reading the scriptures today, you can do what I like to call the Proverb of the Day. And basically, if you know the book of Proverbs, there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. And so what you do is you take the corresponding number of that proverb with the date, the number date of the day, and you read that proverb. So today is March 22nd, and so you would read Proverbs 22, and then tomorrow Proverbs 23 and Proverbs 24 and so on. It's a great way to get back in the habit of reading the scriptures. I've used it many, many, many times in my life. Another great way to be in the Word, especially if you're not really a reader, which I know some folks are and some folks aren't, but if you're not a reader, is to listen to the Word being read to you. And now that we're kind of connected to the Internet, you have many, many different possibilities in order to be able to do this. You have apps and websites. You have YouTube. You can find folks online that will literally read the scriptures to you out loud. And so I actually used to do this before I was a pastor. Many of you know I used to work for the Park and Rec Department, and so I used to be outside mowing grass and weed whacking and those kind of things. And so what I would do is I would, on my phone, or it was, I think at the time it was my MP3 player, I would download the Bible, and I would pop my earbuds in, and I would be listening to the Bible being read to me while I was doing my other things. So I made it work for my situation. And then again, if you are interested in some of those resources, maybe if you don't know where to find some of those apps or some of those resources of folks that will read the Bible to you, I can send them to you. So be sure to email me or send me a message, and I'll be sure to get them to you. But another thing is, I know many of us made New Year's resolutions to read through the entire Bible in a year. If you were in front of me, I'd ask how many of you made that resolution. Many of us use Bible plans, reading plans in order to do that. And so let me ask you, if you've made that New Year's resolution back in January, have you fallen behind on your New Year's resolution? Have you fallen behind in your Bible reading? Well, now's the time to catch up. Be in the Word. That's the point. However you choose to do so, use this time for the glory of God and for your own spiritual good by actually picking up your Bible in reading it. Next, during the quarantine, we need to develop the practice of not just reading, but also studying the scriptures. More than actually reading the Bible comes devotion to the hard work of studying the Bible. Paul said to Pastor Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, he said this, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. And so Bible study is a command of God, studying the scriptures, theology, or the study of God and his word. It's not something that's just reserved for seminarians. It's not something that's just reserved for pastors like myself, all right? It's something that every single Christian, who, by the way, has the privilege of having access to a Bible, is commanded to practice. If you have a Bible, there's no excuse for not studying it. Again, the Bible's not meant just to just go in one ear and out the other without ever affecting our lives or without ever actually digging into it. The Bible is meant to renew our minds so that we would live differently and that we would glorify God as a result. Romans 12:2 states the following. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect." And so, Christian, now is the time. Now is the time during this quarantine, perhaps, to discern the Word of God, to study the Word of God. Maybe it's time for you to order a new study Bible. and spend some time delving into the deeper things of God's Word. Maybe it's time to move beyond in your spiritual walk, beyond things like daily breads and quiet times, and get serious about your Bible study. Again, I'm not knocking the daily bread. I'm not knocking quiet times. I'm not knocking any of those things. They're very, very good resources for you. There's nothing wrong with those things, but they are not meant to be the ending point in your Bible study. Those are just supplements. They're meant to push you further. They're meant so that you would dig into the scriptures even more so, as a result. And so don't just stop there. Dig into the scriptures. Maybe there's some questions that you have, and that you've had for a long time about areas of doctrine, or maybe a passage of scripture that's always confused you for some reason. Well, now is the time to sit down and study and figure those things out, especially if you've been given time at home and you have the time to do so. Maybe it's time to download or order some theology books or some good commentaries and spend some time digesting what the scripture calls solid food or the meat of the word, to actually delve into the scriptures and delve into the deep things. Hebrews 5:11 through 14 says this: about this we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. For though by the time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk and not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he's a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. And so, let me just throw this challenge out there. Let me ask you a question. Are you unskilled in the word of righteousness? Are you a spiritual child who can't handle the solid food or the meat of God's word? Does this passage describe you? Well, Christian, now's the time to start eating your spiritual steak. Now's the time to set aside your spiritual baby bottle, your spiritual milk bottle, and learn how to chew the meaty and delicious things of God's Word. And they are delicious. They are amazing. And so I would encourage you to get into the Word. During this time of quarantine, I can't think of a greater use of our time and a better time and a better practice to help us in this situation than deep and devoted study of God's Word. You know, theology or the study of God's Word, it's always worthy of your time. Not just when a global pandemic is going on, but especially during this time, okay? It helps to get our minds off of the world, off of what's going on around us, and helps us focus on what is most important, and that is our great God, our great Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, if you need any recommendations for study Bibles or commentaries or theology books, be sure to be in touch with me and I can get you those. As a matter of fact, I might send out this week some recommendations, after this sermon for you so that you can order those things and, know where, to get them, know which ones are good and which ones are, not so good, because there are some not so good ones out there. And so I wouldn't encourage just any study Bible or any commentary. Talk to your pastor first and I can give you good recommendations. But the point is don't waste this time. Don't waste this time. Be reading the scriptures, yes, but also be studying them. Be in the Word. But along with reading and studying the Word comes the discipline of memorizing Scripture, which leads to our next subpoint, that during this quarantine time that we need to take the time to memorize Scripture. The Bible says in Psalm 119:11, many of you know this verse, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Right? And so the idea of hiding God's word in our heart means memorizing the words, the Bible, so that when you're tempted to sin against God, that you wouldn't do so. Why? Because you'll be reminded of the truths about God from its pages. In the case of the coronavirus scare, this sin against God might be like myself. Might be the sin of worry. Might be the sin of anxiety, of not trusting God. Not trusting his sovereign hand, not trusting his goodness. Might be the sin of wasting your time on lesser things, right? Might be the sin, like I said, of being on Netflix or on your smartphone too much, maybe games or social media, these kind of things. Might be the sin of maybe anger and frustration at your current situation. Again, each and every one of us is going to be hit differently by this. And so it's going to cause ups and downs. And maybe cause a little anger or frustration in regard to all of this. Whatever it is, memorizing God's word will help you to overcome that sin during this trial and in the long run as well. It will first and foremost, I think, give us something to do that's spiritually profitable during this time, right? But beyond that, it will give you reminders of our great God, of his character and his nature, as well as all of these positive truths that the scripture has that will fill your heart with peace instead of all of the negativity that we're seeing in the news and the social media, which, by the way, will only exacerbate the sin in our lives. It will cause being so much on social media and on the news and all of these things, it will only exacerbate the sin. It will only push us further into sin. And by the way, the same could be said of watching all of those shows on Netflix and on TV all the time. Again, what's the old kid song go? Be careful, little eyes, what they see, right? Those things will only further the sin in your life and not kill it. And so, but practically speaking, there are many ways that you can get in the habit and the discipline of memorizing scripture. I know I've recommended this book. I know today's kind of the day of book recommendations, but one of my seminary professors at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, Dr. Donald Whitney, wrote this book, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. And I would highly recommend that if you're looking for good books to read during this time, that you pick this one up. You can find it digitally online. You can order it, whatever. But in this book, Dr. Whitney gives several practical pieces of advice in regard to memorizing scripture. First and foremost, he says to write out the verses. And this has worked for me many, many different times when I've been trying to memorize scripture. I'd take a little index card and I would write the verse out on the index card, and I just keep it in my pocket throughout the day. And I'd pull it out of there whenever I had a couple minutes and try to memorize it, and, you know, turn it over and try and memorize that scripture. And it really worked. And not to be braggy about that, but when I was in Bible college, I used that method, the index card writing it out method, to memorize the entire book of James. And memorized the entire book at that time, and to my shame, I couldn't recite it to you all today, but I personally, during this time, recommitted myself to re-memorizing the book of James, and I'm going to talk about that more in just a few minutes, but just a couple other examples, recommendations by Dr. Whitney. He says to draw picture reminders. It's another recommendation by Dr. Whitney in regard to memorizing scripture. Because some of you, like myself, you might be a little bit more artsy, and so maybe taking the scripture and drawing or painting a picture of its truths, it might help to cement those truths in your mind. In my case, I can finally put those happy little trees to work, right? You know, do something besides just painting a painting, right? But yeah, so it's a good recommendation, I think. And finally, Dr. Whitney recommends this final method, which I think is the most important, which is find a method of accountability if you're going to practice memorization. For instance, maybe memorize scripture with someone else in the church. And this is something that you can do over the phone. You can do over FaceTime or Zoom or one of these things. Just because you can't get together physically doesn't mean that you can't talk. And so make those times together profitable. By challenging each other to memorize a passage of scripture together and recite it back and forth to each other whenever you get together over those means. And so along those lines, I'm going to put out a personal challenge to our church as your pastor. As I said before, I want to re-memorize the entire book of James. It's 5 chapters. It's a short book. And I want to do that during this quarantine. And I want your help as a church. That's what I want. And so I want to challenge our entire church. Number one, to memorize scripture, but to help me in memorizing the book of James by committing you to do your best in memorizing the book of James with me, okay? I think we can do it. I know many of us don't have good memories. I understand that. But what a better thing to commit our time to. Even if it's just a few verses of it, would be better than nothing. And so I'm going to start right from the beginning. I'm going to memorize it in the English Standard Version, but you can choose whatever version that you want. And then I'll put out an announcement. Maybe we'll have a Zoom meeting or whatever about it in the next couple weeks, where we can all kind of recite the book to each other and encourage one another in that process. And so if you're interested in that, I appreciate it if you let me know. You can email me, you can text me, but I really would like to get a few folks that would commit to helping me to rememorize the book of James during this quarantine. I think it's worthy of our time, and it would be beneficial for me as your pastor and beneficial for you. So if you're interested in that, please let me know. But But this challenge doesn't just apply to scripture memory. I want to encourage you all to be getting together, just getting together through electronic means, with the entire purpose of studying the scripture, of reading and studying the scripture together as a church. I'm very, very pleased with our Olympian group, Brother Adam and Steve and the teen club. They've been doing this through video lessons online. It's a very good way. I'm very pleased that our church, our teen club and our Olympians program hasn't taken this sitting down, that they put these things out there. But maybe consider calling each other. Maybe consider calling each other, you know, through things like Zoom or FaceTime or Skype, in order to have a Bible study with your brothers and sisters. I think it's a great thing. I actually, I have a group of guys in our church that I get together with regularly, and we've been going through the book of Hebrews for quite some time before this whole thing, and we got together last week, and we continued on in the book of Hebrews together on Zoom, and we all got together and we prayed together and talked about scripture together just like normal, had our coffee and everything, and it was a great time. And so I encourage you to be doing that with one another. Get together online purposely with the purpose of reading and studying scripture. I know many of you practice family worship at night in the evening with your kids. I know Sarah and I do that with TJ and Carissa, and you know, basically we read a passage of scripture, we sing, and spend that time together. But maybe you should schedule a Zoom meeting to do family worship together with other families in the church, if that's your practice. Again, Zoom is free. You get 40 minutes free. Again, family worship shouldn't go more than an hour, in my opinion. I can talk about family worship in later things, but, maybe schedule a get together with another family to do family worship together with another family. There are endless ideas of what you can do during this time. And, one of those other ideas is what we've already done last week, which is, taking part in our Wednesday night, prayer meeting, online that we had on Zoom, and we're going to continue to have on Zoom until this thing is all done at 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights. I'm very, very thankful for every single person who came out. I was very, very pleased to see the turnout for that. We had a great group of people, but I want to see more. I think especially during this time we need to be praying. Next Sunday I'm going to talk about if we're still in this the spiritual discipline of prayer. But I'm going to be sending out another email this week with instructions soon on how you can connect through Zoom to the prayer meeting this Wednesday. But this time, I didn't realize it last time, but you can actually connect to the Zoom meeting through phone. For those of you who might not be as tech savvy, or maybe the webcam is a little intimidating to you, I'll send out instructions where you can connect over your phone and you can take part in that this coming week. But I really think it's important for God's people to assemble. But along those lines, more than just prayer, going back to the idea of Bible study, I'm also going to be starting a new study this week through the book of 1 Peter during that time. Very brief study. And the reason for that is because 1 Peter was written during a time of crisis for the church, a time of trial. And I think it has a lot of really, really good and practical things that we can learn during that time, during this time of crisis for our nation and for our church. And so I really want to encourage you to join us this week on Zoom at 7 p.m. And we're going to try and wrap up around 8:30. We'll take prayer requests. We'll pray together and spend a little bit of time in the Word together as a church throughout the week. And so join us there. But the entire point of this morning's devotional is that this time of social distancing and quarantine can indeed be used for your spiritual good. You can indeed and should indeed be growing spiritually during this time, and the way to do so is being in the Word of God, and being in the Word of God any way that you can. And so this week, believer, let me just encourage you as your pastor, don't neglect the Word. Stay in the Word. Stay encouraged by the Word. Find ways to be in the Word. Find ways to keep each other accountable to being in the Word. And again, take part in all of the opportunities that we offer as a church online throughout this entire coronavirus process for the glory of God and for your own spiritual good. Again, as I said at the beginning, don't waste your quarantine. Amen? Digital amen? Praise God. Let me pray, and then I got a couple announcements. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this time that we have had to be able to be reminded of the time that you have given to us. I pray, God, that we would not waste it. I pray indeed, God, that we would be in your Word, that we would just learn to get into the habit and discipline of reading it, and more than that, God, that we would learn to love it, to love your word, studying your word and reading your word and learning more about you, God. Open our minds to the truths that are in its pages. God, you've given us, many of us, time now, time at home. And so, God, I pray that you would help us to use that time wisely for our own individual walk, but also as our walk as a church family. God, I just thank you so much for our church family. Again, as I said at the beginning, God, I miss each and every one of them. I miss gathering physically, God, and we look forward to that day when we will be able to gather once again physically, Lord. But it also points us to that greater day in the future when we will all gather around the throne of our great Savior Jesus Christ all together and sing your praises and be in your presence for all eternity, Lord. But until that time, sustain us, keep us, and Lord, utilize your word in our lives this week as we continue to walk with you and honor you, God, even through this crisis. We love you and we praise you and we give you the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.